As Heather mentioned, this summer we're focusing on the story of Abraham and Sarah, making our way through those chapters in Genesis, their various adventures and misadventures, all captured up into the plan of God for them and through them. You may remember that they didn't start with the names that they finished with. They finished with Abraham and Sarah, but they actually started with Abram and Sarai. And we're going to read the story of when the Lord gave them a new name. And whether you've ever taken a new name or not, this is actually your story as well. I'll be reading in Genesis chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. Let's pray together before we read. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Spirit who inspired it. We ask that that very same Spirit would be at work in our midst to give us ears to hear and hearts to respond. We pray in the name of the Savior. Amen. Genesis chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land where you are now an alien, all the land of Canaan, for a perpetual holding, and I will be their God." And then skipping down to verse 15. God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her. And moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of people shall come from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said to himself, "Can a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Can Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live in your sight." God said, "No, but your wife Sarah shall bear you a son, and you shall name him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Many of you know Bill and Susan Andrews' daughter Elizabeth. She grew up in our church, and she and her husband Charles moved back to town not too long ago. I saw them just a couple of weeks ago, and Elizabeth was large with child, as in large and wishing the child would come yesterday. And finally, the youngster came on Friday, July 3rd. I had asked them when I saw them, "What are you going to name this child?" And they knew a first name. They were going to name him Isaac, just like the promised child to Sarah. But they didn't yet have a middle name. And actually, as I heard it, they didn't come up with a middle name until they were in the hospital and had met this boy, and they decided that his middle name ought to be Christopher. And so his birth certificate reads Isaac Christopher Texera, named by his parents. I bet all of you here were named by your parents. How did they come up with your name? Some of you know those stories. I think it's an interesting process. Usually parents choose a family name, or maybe some friend's name, maybe a biblical name, or they find a name that has a meaning that they like. They want to vest that child's identity with the meaning of that name, or maybe it's just a name that has a ring to it. It sounds good together with the other names. And your parents chose your name with reasons like that, and so you were identified on your birth certificate. Long before you even began to know who you are, your ears were hearing what you would be called and what you're still called to this day. Not only do parents name babies, they start imagining what these children will be as they come of age. And so Charles and Elizabeth have already been doing this with their older child, their toddler, AJ. And soon enough, they'll be observing little Isaac's emerging traits, and they'll be imagining for him too. And they'll say things like, look how wiry that boy is, and he's fearless, and I bet he's going to be a gymnast. Or they'll say, look what that kid's building with Legos. This kid's going to be an engineer. He has to be an engineer. You know how those conversations go as we try to picture where this emerging identity could possibly be going. And your parents had those same kind of conversations about you. They thought they could see the trajectory that was being formed there before you. And they may have hit on some parts of it and what your identity would form up to be, but surely they missed some of it too. Well, there is one who calls it right every time. And that's because he's not just projecting what you'll be, he's forming you to be what he has designed you to be. And he is growing you into that full identity that he has intended for you since he began to form you in the womb. And at the same time, he's redeeming you from all of the factors in your life, in you and around you, that misshape that God-given identity. And it is what he imagines you to be that you're becoming. For Abram and Sarai, that God-given identity was very different than what their parents imagined for them. They were born in Ur. That's a city in what is modern-day Iraq. Their parents figured that Abram and Sarai would live as they had lived and as their parents lived and as their parents lived, because in that day and place, well, children whose apples fell very far from the family tree were exceedingly rare. It just went generation after generation after generation with one almost indiscernible from the other. And for years, that seemed to be the direction that Abram and Sarai's life were taking as well. But many years later, quite likely after Abram and Sarai's parents were long gone, when Abram was 75 and Sarai 65, they were met by the one who stretches our identity beyond anything our parents could ever have imagined for us. And though they were still childless at that late stage in their lives, that one told them that they would bring forth a whole nation, and that that nation would actually have a land of its own. Boy, you talk about out of the blue and mind-boggling. This was a promise unlike anything they'd ever heard or even could imagine. But it was a good promise, and it planted a little bit of hope in their hearts, and they really wanted it to be so. But then 24 years passed. 24 years. And they were already old when they heard the promise. Mr. 75 and Miss 65 had become Mr. 100 and Miss 90. Lord, did we hear you right? Maybe, Lord, maybe we can just talk about this a little bit. Maybe since so much time has passed, maybe you'd like to trim this promise down to some doable size now that we're really this far along. And I don't know if they prayed that way or not. That's how I would have been praying. But rather than trimming the promise down to something doable, here's what the Lord did. He came and expanded the promise. He said to Abram, 24 years before, he had said to Abram these words, I'll make you a father of a great nation. This time, the promise was not just a great nation, but a multitude of nations. 24 years later, and he's making the promise bigger? And the guy still didn't even have a son? And not only did he expand his promise to Abram, he expanded Abram's name. Ironically, the name Abram meant exalted father. It was a name that already didn't fit. It's kind of like calling the littlest kid on the block Bruiser. Okay, you can call this little runt Bruiser if you want, but it doesn't make it so. And Abram was bearing a name that meant exalted father. But that wasn't big enough for the Lord. And so he stretched his name. He said, from now on, your name will be Abraham, which meant not just exalted father, but exalted father of many. And here Abram and Sarai were still trying to hold on to their hope that they would just have one. And the Lord just makes it bigger. And Sarai, man, if you think it was hard on Abram, what about her? Now, in our day, women find purposes in life in lots of life's arenas. But back then, bearing children totally defined a woman's value. She was a mama or she was nothing in that day and time. And so here's Sarah now, 90, and the Lord promises her a child again. Didn't trim back the promise. He expanded it, just like he did with Abram. She was not just to be a mother now, but the Lord said, you'll actually be a mother of kings. Wow, it's already a stretch, Lord, just to have a child, and now you're saying I'm going to be a mother of kings? And he did the same thing with her name that he had done with Abram's name. Sarai meant my princess, a familiar and endearing term, maybe a little bit diminutive, my princess, my little princess. And he says to her, from now on you're going to be called Sarah and you're going to be a mother of kings. No longer my little princess. You're going to be the one who brings forth kings. You'll be the queen mother. Wow, that's bold. 24 years later, and he's expanding the promise and then expanding the identities to match this even bigger promise. And did you notice how Abraham responded? Verse 3 and verse 17, twice he fell on his face. First, he fell on his face in awe before the Lord. When he first met the Lord, he fell on his face. He was overwhelmed by the Lord's presence and the Lord's word to him. He was in total awe, and in awe, he fell on his face. But the second time he fell on his face, it wasn't in awe, it was in laughter. Because the Lord had actually expanded the promise when the promise was already laughable. And he comes and he makes it bigger. And Abraham couldn't help himself. He fell on his face laughing at the Lord. That's a pretty good picture of how that works for us. Sometimes we're in awe of the wonder of the Lord. And sometimes we just laugh as we wonder whether we heard the Lord right in the first place. And then when a lot of time passes, this promise just seems all the more laughable to us. You know, the Lord's promises tend to be a stretch to begin with. I mean, you can name some if you know the scripture. You can name these promises, and they're all big. And when he brings one home to our hearts and we understand that this is coming our way, and then time passes, the awe that we have at the promise initially, the wonder that puts us on our face before the Lord, begins to drift a bit. And we wonder whether we heard him. And we laugh. Because these promises are so huge, it's just kind of funny. And it's not just the duration of it all that challenges us. There are a lot of things that would steal away the Lord's promises and take away our names. Every time we make a sinful choice, we're moving apart from God's promises to us. We do that daily in various ways. Sometimes we have whole patterns of our lives that we've established that are taking us not closer to the promise of God, but farther away. And sometimes it's not sin that we've chosen, but someone else has chosen. Someone does something to us that leaves us with a hole in our hearts or a limp in our step. We live in a broken world. We sin and they sin, and we're the product of who we are and where we are, and it can move us farther from the promise of God, which is exactly what the devil desires. He's all about stealing away the new name that the Lord is giving you. He wants to flatten out your name. He wants to trivialize your identity. He wants to make you like everyone else and unlike yourself. And he wants to make sure that everything about you is stacked against the promise of God for you. And so between our own sin and the sin of others and the devil's attacks, you know, it seems like God's promises just keep getting pushed back. And that sometimes we're in danger of losing our name altogether. Many of you have seen, maybe you saw it the first time it was shown, it's 35 years ago now, Alex Haley's story, Roots. African-American man decided he would explore his family's roots, which was complicated, being African-American, as most of his forebears came to our land as slaves. And if you saw it, then you remember how the story begins. His several great-grandfathers back was captured in Africa and put on a ship to the colonies and sold there. His name was Kunta Kinte, and he knew who he was. His parents had named him. They had vested him with an identity. He knew where his place was. He was a proud man. But the slavers had a different plan for him. They didn't want him proud and independent. They wanted to control him and to use him. And part of making him useful would be to break that identity in him and to give him a new name, a slave name. I'll show you a segment of the video from that story, and as the scene picks up, he's been in the colonies, he's run away, but they've captured him and have brought him back, and the slaver decides this is the time to force Kunta Kinte to give up that name. And so they've strung him up and they've begun to whip him, and it's pretty raw. If you need to turn and look away, do. But know that part of the reason this is hard to watch is because white or black, it strikes pretty close to home for us all. So, Richard.
James. Your name is Toby. I want to hear you say it. Your name is Toby. You're going to learn to say your name. Let me hear you say it. What's your name?
Kunta. Kunta Kinte.
When the master gives you something, you take it. He gave you a name. It's a nice name. It's Toby. And it's going to be yours till the day you die. Now, I know you understand me, and I want to hear it. Again! I want to hear you say your name. Your name is Toby. What's your name?
Kunta.
Lord God, help that boy. They're gonna flip him dead.
Say your name. What's your name?
Toby.
Hi. Say it again. Say it louder so they all can hear you. What's your name?
Toby. My name is Toby.
Hi.
track him down.
It's not a person here who hadn't been tobified at some point through our own foolish choices or through some beating that we've taken in life. We come to the place where we can no longer hold on to that identity that the Lord would give us, that Kunta Kinte name. And we just take our Toby slave name. And we would lose ourselves entirely, except that there is one who took a whipping for us so that we can keep the name that the Lord has given us. And the full name and the full promise of who he intends us to be. That's the Savior who took the whipping so that you and I could have the full name that God would give us. His name was spoken over you at your baptism, and your name was joined to his at that moment. And then that identity began to expand. You began to grow into that baptized identity as a Jesus person. And just as Abram became Abraham, the exalted father of nations, and Sarai became Sarah, the queen mother of kings, so the Lord has spoken more boldly and fully over you than you could ever know or imagine, and that your parents imagined for you. And there's the one who took the whip on your behalf so that you could come into that full name. And here's where all of this is finally going. You know those two moments when Abraham fell on his face before the Lord? It's so true to life. We catch a glimpse of the Lord's beauty and power and the wonder of his promises at work in our lives, and we fall before him in awe. And then 2 minutes later, we turn right around and we see the many ways in our lives that are pulling us apart from those promises and our identity. And really, it's laughable. And so we fall before the Lord, sometimes in awe and sometimes in laughter. We believe and we don't believe the promises of God. We believe and we don't believe that he's at work in our lives. But thanks be to God that he came in our midst and he took a whipping on our behalf. And thanks be to that one who did. There is a day coming when that awe and that laughter will come together. And it'll be a day beyond the bounds of this earthly life. Through the course of this life, the Lord's going to continue to grow you into his full name for you. But that process will be completed only when you go to be with Jesus. And on that day, you're going to have a surprise. Revelation tells us that the Lord has for us a new name. It's because this identity that he's growing you into, just like Abram had to become Abraham and Sarai had to become Sarah, so the Lord sees for you something so big that's going to require a filling out of your name. And he has a new name for you too. And when he speaks your name then, the awe that put you on your face before him and the laughter in the face of promises as yet unfulfilled, somehow the awe and the laughter will come together. And you and I, with old Abraham and Sarah next to us on their faces, we'll be laughing together in awe of the Lord and what he has made us to be. He will accomplish what he has begun. Now let's pray. Lord, we want to be your people, the people you've designed us to be. You gave your son's very life so that we could have our name joined to his, and that you could call forth from us far beyond what we could ever do on our own. Be at work, Lord. We yield to you. We look to you. We trust you. We trust you with promises fulfilled and yet to be fulfilled. We trust you to help us make our way through this world that would pull us apart from you. And we look to the day when with old Father Abraham and Sarah, our awe and laughter will all be one in your presence. We pray in the name of the Savior. Amen.